Good afternoon, honorable members, and good afternoon, my colleagues. We are having a meeting today, a committee meeting. However, the chairperson of the committee is not available for today's meeting. Therefore, if the chairperson of the committee is not available, we have to elect, according to the rules of parliament, we have to elect an acting chairperson. So, members, can I have any nomination of the acting chairperson? Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to nominate the whip of the portfolio committee, Honorable Maxengwa.
Thanks, but can I have any second?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. I second Chair the proposal.
Thank you, Honorable. Any objection? Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Dr. Maxengwa, can you come and take your seat, please? Thanks.
Good morning, honorable members and officials of the committee. And members who are sitting against the wall there, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for the nomination or the election as the acting chairperson of the session. I know that the chair is not well. But we'll hear everything from the apologists. That was by way of an opening meeting. Today is Tuesday, 9th September 2014. And we are expected to deal with three items on the agenda. But before I do that, there is an apology from the chairperson, as I said. Mrs. Stain, Honorable Stain, is in another meeting. This one clashes with another meeting. Mr. Kengwa, who's always apologizing, will not be part of this meeting due to clashes. Now, we don't have an apology from Mr. Filtan as well. Again, the clash of committees. We don't have an apology from Honorable Jaise so far. Maybe he's joining us later. That's what the secretary is saying. Honorable Ulemadi, there is no apology from him. So we'll have to start. But first, we'll have to get the person who's moving the acceptance of the apologies, those who are written, except that of Honorable Mavi. Any move for the record? Honorable Ramaphosa?
I move, Chair, for
the acceptance. Honorable Mandela? Of course, Mandela. On a point of order, Chair, before we even talk about adoption of the apologies, how do we measure in terms of absence of members when we simply receive an apology without any confirmation if that is known in the relevant structures? Like, I know in my case, if I'm to not attend, I have to submit an application in the chief whip's office to be granted permission to be absent. And therefore, then we are able to have apologies submitted. I understand the apologies that have been read out in terms of having clashes with other portfolio committees, but for the non-attendance of members that simply just do not attend and to simply put in an apology that I'm not available, how do we address that?
Thank you very much, honorable member. Just for the record, in relation to this committee, honorable Chairperson has an apology, honorable Njai says an apology, honorable Feltan has an apology, honorable Sangwa is an apology, honorable Stain is an apology. There's only one member, honorable Bulemabe, who doesn't have an apology in front of us. It's something that the ANC will have to make a follow-up. I don't want to talk about something that is not in front of this committee. But I know for a fact that although it didn't come true to me as a whip of the African National Congress and the committee, I've seen an apology for 2 weeks, sick leave of Honorable Mabe. Now, I can't say it's still within that 2 weeks, Honorable Mandela. That one we'll have to check. And maybe in the next meeting we'll just inform the meeting. But the process is exactly what you say, that the parties must handle their own apologies. If I'm not going to be here as an ANC member, must submit to my whip and then sign to the chief whip of the party. That's how it's supposed to be done. Honorable Mandela.
No, thanks, Chair. I think with that note, I would like to second the motion to accept the apologies. Thank you.
Thank you very much, second that. And I think that must be the practice, honorable members. I think we need to do things right. In front of us, there is an agenda for the meeting. We'll go straight to, because the agenda was circulated, I think. So, circulation and no response in terms of how it should shape means the members accepted the agenda. The first item in the agenda will be the briefing from the support officials, committee support officials, on the deregistration of Naha farms in preparation for the oversight. And again, members, the visit will be on the 23rd of this month in the Eastern Cape. All what we need to check now is how do we stand in terms of the deregistration, so that as we go there, we know very well what's happening. Thank you very much. Over to you, presenter.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honorable members, colleagues and visitors. This briefing, members will know that NGCA is one of the entities of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries that the committee is overseeing. This briefing is to give members, because they're all new and they don't really know what has been going on at NGCA except for the recommendation of the last committee through the legacy report. So the briefing is to give the members, before they visit the entity, an idea of what's going on there. First of all, I would like to apologize. We do not have a printer. We ran out of toner, so we don't have copies of the presentation. But more detailed information is on the brief that was circulated to members. So the presentation is just the key issues from the brief. The outline is the background and the mandate of the entity and the extent of the entity, which is called NGCA Farms Pty Limited, and the stakeholders that also form part of the entity, the challenges and the issues that have been raised from fourth parliament, which is by the previous portfolio committee, and the responses that the department has given, and some issues that this committee can consider. NGCA Farms Pty Limited is a Schedule 3B according to the PFMA. It is the entity of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Schedule 3B means that it is a national government business enterprise. It is located in the Kids Beach area of East London in the Eastern Cape. The Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is the sole shareholder of the entity. The entity was originally NGCA Agricultural Development Corporation, and it was under the Eastern Cape Provincial Department of Agriculture. Due to financial constraints at the time, the entity was eventually transferred to the former National Department of Agriculture during the 2004-2005 financial year, and was subsequently renamed NGCA Farms Pty Limited. The mandate of the entity, and this is listed in the documents of the entity that have been submitted to Parliament, including the latest strategic plan, is to provide extension, mechanical services, training and agricultural support services to the farmers that are settled on the NGCA farm, as well as the neighboring communities. The entity's aim is to contribute to an industry-focused farm management training, farmer support services, and the design of franchise-type agricultural business models for farmers and beneficiaries of land reform in the immediate catchment area of NGCA. The entity constitutes Welcome Home Farm, which is the farm where the service center is located, and 11 state farms. And these all together cover the total area of approximately 3,700 hectares in size. The service center, which is at Welcome Home Farm, also includes office buildings of the entity, a workshop, and training rooms. And the farm is approximately 1,500 hectares in size. The development of the approval for the development of the service center at Welcome Home Farm was approved in October 2004. And the service center was developed in 2005, and its objectives were to provide extension services, contract plowing, training and technical advice to the 10 farmers that will eventually be allocated the 10 state farms and surrounding communities. Agricultural activities that are taking place at the service center currently include livestock and vegetable production. The state farms, there are 11 of them, and they cover an area of approximately 2,200 hectares. Some of the farms are called portions. In the background to the state farms, in 2005, the former Department of Agriculture issued an advertisement looking for potential farmers or and interested individuals to apply for the occupation and leasing of the state farms. After the selection process with the applications that the department received, 10 farmers were selected, and 10 of the 11 farms were allocated to those successful applicants, and that was during 2007-2008 financial year. The 11th farm, which is called Rockland, was not allocated to any applicant, and at the time the department reported that that farm was reserved for settling the ex-farm workers. Because in those 10 farms were previously commercial farms before they were bought by the state, and there were workers who used to work there, and were living in the farms, and they remained in the farms even after they were bought by the state. So the department reported at that time that they will settle all those ex-farm workers in Rockland. The 10 successful applicants were subsequently relocated to the 10 farms, and at the time they were given permission to occupy with the intention to provide them with 3-year leases within a year and the option to buy at the end of the lease. The permission to occupy is a temporary arrangement that is valid for 12 months. Hence, the department planned to provide the farmers with leases within that 12-month period. That was 2007-2008. However, during the last committee's first oversight to Mecha, that was in 2010, it was found that since the farmers occupy the farms, they haven't received any leases or any other official or contract document from the department, except the PTOs, or the permission to occupy. And the farmers also reported that for the most time, those PTOs, which are valid for 12 months, and so they have to renew, they remained in the farms with invalid or expired PTOs. And during that oversight of the committee, the 10th farmer, who also happened to be an official of the department, reported during that oversight that he had pulled out of the process of reallocation by 2008 already, after realizing that the department was not coming forth with leases or any other official document. So he was no longer part of the 10. However, in all presentations and documents regarding NAHA by the department, they always speak of 10 farms that were allocated to 10 farmers. The said 10 farmers, we always talk about 10 farmers, although that 10th one reported that was no longer part of the process. But the farmers, 9 effectively, they also reported that they never received any form of support when they were allocated the farms from the department. And for the most part, they lived on those farms with expired PTOs. Besides the 10 farmers, there are other stakeholders and role players that form part of Mancha, the entity. And this includes the ex-farm workers or farm dwellers. the department, as much as they have reported that they will, the ex-farm workers will be settled in Rockland, that did not happen. And before settling the 10 farmers, knowing that those ex-farm workers were staying in those state farms, there were no consultations with those ex-farm workers regarding the allocation of the 10 farms to new applicants. And also the 10 farmers, before they were moved to those 10 farms, they were also never informed that the farms were occupied by former workers. And the former workers were also making use of the farm resources, like grazing area and the fields and even the farmhouses. And the last committee only knew about this when they visited the area for the first time in 2010. And then some of the potential farmers also reported that they only find out when they got to the area that the farms were occupied, and some of the former farm workers refused to leave the farms, including the farmhouses. And also the surrounding communities were also making use of the state farms before they were occupied, because they were open, and particularly for grazing lands and water for their livestock. And none of these stakeholders were consulted by the department before it made the decision to allocate the farms. This created conflicts between the new farmers when they arrived to take occupation of the farms, and also the mostly with the farm workers. The other stakeholders in the area include the surrounding communities, who mostly fall under two traditional authorities. The first one, which is closest to Mecha, the service center, is the Imu Dushane Traditional Authority, under the late Chief John Gilanga, and also the part of Chief Tensi. And with the last visit, with when Mecha was formed, it was supposed to provide support to the 10 farmers, including these surrounding traditional authorities. And in the last visit of the last committee, it also came to light that there were other stakeholders who were not necessarily under traditional authorities, but lived in the surrounding area of Mecha, who were also laying claims to some of the farms, but verbal claims. They also indicated that they haven't lodged any formal claims. The challenges with the entity, the conflict, one of the biggest issues there is the conflict among the stakeholders. With subsequent visits to Mecha by the previous committee and briefings, some in Parliament and also in the entity, the conflict have deteriorated to an extent that there were even reports of attacks of livestock from both sides, both from the farmer's side and also from the ex-farm worker's side. And subsequently, there were even farm invasions. The farmers reported that farm invasions started in 2008, actually, soon after they took occupation of the farms. And they have intensified since then. And with the farm invasions, it also came to light that that's from the farmer's side, that not everybody who was invading the farm was originally from the area or was even an ex-farm worker. There were people from outside who were taking advantage of the situation because it was left for so long without being addressed. So the farm invasions have since intensified. It was also reported that not all the farms were being invaded. the invasions were targeting certain farms, I think most probably those that are close to, those that have infrastructure and are also close to the service center. And the farm, the 10 relocated, or 9 rather, farmers also reported that because of the invasions and the tensions between the ex-farm workers and the applicants, some of the farmers could not occupy the farm. Also, because the department hasn't been responsive and has never even tried to address the conflict, and there was never any support that was provided, some of the successful applicants could not occupy the farm. I think only 4 of the 10 were fully occupied. And there was also, in addition to the fights and conflict, there was also claims against NAFA from other stakeholders. And the recent, in the past year, before, with subsequent meetings that the committee had, there weren't any claims against NAFA, except the main issue was the conflict and lack of cooperation from the department. But in the past year, the representative of the Pato Traditional Authority, or chieftaincy, claimed, reported that they also have a claim, but that was also a verbal claim, against some of the land that belonged to Echa. And the biggest challenge, while the committee was trying to address the issues in the with the entity, there was a serious lack of records as on how the entity was established and for what purpose and under which program. Because ideally, having state farms and allocating them to farmers would fall under land redistribution. And the program at the time that was in existence for land redistribution was LRAD, which is Land Redistribution for Agricultural Development. However, from what has been relayed to the committee, the allocation of the funds couldn't have been under LRAD because there weren't any records or documentation signed with the farmers, and there wasn't any support given to them. And they also didn't necessarily contribute anything to occupy the farm. And with LRAD, there's always a grant that will go, and the farmer or groups will also contribute in kind. But there wasn't any such arrangement with these farmers. The challenge since then has also been poor governance and capacity with the entity's management. The CEO, the committee tried to get records from the former CEO during the first visit in 2010, but unfortunately the CEO passed away in 2011. Before the committee could get any details on what was going on with the entity, and also from the department side. The current CEO was appointed, I think, towards the end of 2011, beginning of 2012. And unfortunately, the current CEO, also found the entity in the state where there weren't any records, and it was not clear what was going on. And he also didn't get much support from the department. And one of the issues was the department disregarded. With what the committee noticed is that the department disassociated itself from the state farms. They might have known about the conflict, or they might not, or they didn't want to address the conflict. So what was happening is the focus was only on the service center, that is Welcome Home Farm, where offices and workshops and the training center is, at the exclusion of the state farm. So the 10 farmers were left in those farms to fend for themselves, and the ex-farm workers were also left in limbo. So they were the two parties were dealing with each other the only way that they knew how. And the department was not involved, and the new CEO, that's the situation that he found, and he also only focused on Welcome Home Farm. And with subsequent presentations to the committee, it also came to light that he was also not neutral in the situation. He lent an ear to the ex-farm workers and the surrounding communities, understandably, at the exclusion of those farmers that were brought to the farms. So, in fact, if the committee hasn't been to the entity for oversight visit, they might not have known the extent of the conflicts and the fact that there are 10 state or 11 state farms that are part of the entity, because the department will only report on what was happening at the service center. The role of the department is the sole shareholder of the entity, and it also acts as a caretaker. When the last committee came in during the fourth parliament, the entity had no board of directors, and our members are reminded that the entity was also not established under an act of parliament, which is what the committee was trying to find out, how the entity was established. And it didn't have a board of directors, and in the absence of the board of directors, a senior manager from the department will act as a caretaker of the entity. But the role of the caretaker, which is the department, which is also the sole shareholder, has never been clear, because the department disassociated. The only time that they will say anything about NWSA is during the reporting times, during the strike plans and annual reporting. And even during this time, they don't have details of what's going on in the entity. They have to drag the CEO to come and make the presentation. And there has been a lack of physical monitoring and evaluation of what's going on in the entity from the side of the department as the shareholder and caretaker. Since its inception, the entity has not been fulfilling its mandate as clearly stated in its documents. And also in this regard, and there was a serious disregard for the state funds by the department. One other challenge has been the lack of response by the department to parliamentary recommendations and resolutions regarding some of the issues that needed to be addressed in the entity. Some of the issues from the fourth parliament: after the first oversight visit, the entity asked for a forensic investigation to be done in the entity. And this was done, and the forensic report was submitted to the previous committee by the end of 2012. The record of NWSA were also requested, including the criteria that was used to allocate the 10 farms, and also all the funding that the department has been allocating to the entity since its inception, given that it was not fulfilling its mandate. The previous committee has had challenges with the quality of reports, including strategic plans and annual plans from the entity, which were always not drafted according to the National Treasury guidelines and frameworks. And the committee has, in most cases, asked for a resubmission of the strategic plan. Seeing that the entity was not fulfilling its mandate and the records were sketchy, the previous committee also asked the department to develop a turnaround strategy on how the entity can be better utilized and its facilities, given that we're talking about agricultural land of more than 3,000 hectares and with potential. However, the department having failed to respond to some of the requests and resolutions of the committee, the committee decided last year during its budget process that the entity should be closed or deregistered at its current format, and the department to present a plan, and the department was given an opportunity to motivate or justify why the entity shouldn't be closed, and also submit a plan on how it can be revived. That plan was expected in July 2013 with those alternative proposals. The plan, of course, was not submitted, and the committee visited the entity for the last time in November 2013. And during that meeting, the committee expected a progress report from the department regarding the deregistration of the entity for January 2014. The responses from the department on some of the issues, the details are in the brief, these are just highlights. The department never addressed the matter of compliance in terms of drafting threat plans or annual plans according to Treasury regulations. Members will recall from the latest strategic plan document, it's been more or less the same. If there's little improvement, but it's more or less the same without clear objectives, targets, and outputs and indicators on threat plans, and that hasn't been rectified. The turnaround strategy was submitted, but the committee rejected it because it lacked details, and it also excluded the state farm. It still revolved around the service center only. The committee rejected that and asked the department to review it, include clear details and resources and personnel that will be needed. That also was never submitted again. That ended there. The plan for the deregistration of the entity, including the progress report on that, with alternative proposals on how to close or deregister the entity, was also not submitted in January 2014 as was expected. In terms of deregistration, the department, without a plan or any progress report, only reported that they were in discussions with the ARC to take over the entity, as that was one suggestion, to take over the entity as a livestock research institute. And they also mentioned that they were having discussions with the National Department of Rural Development and Land Reform regarding alternative land to place the farmers. And the Eastern Cape Provincial Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform regarding absorbing some of the workers in the entity, and also Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality regarding settlement land for some of the stakeholders who were invading the farms. So there has never been any detail on those, just discussions. And the department has never made any effort to resolve the conflict among stakeholders at NCHA. And regarding the forensic report that was asked by the previous committee, which was also submitted, the department, when they came to brief the committee on the report, they did mention that there were some government officials and other people who were implicated in the forensic report, including the former CEO who has since passed on. And the department mentioned that some of the cases were forwarded to legal authorities, and the department was also having its own internal processes, disciplinary processes. And unfortunately, they have never reported back on the progress or any action that has been taken against government officials implicated. Issues that I think the committee should consider is the progress regarding in addressing the matters that have been highlighted in that forensic report. Because at the time they also reported that some of the government officials have left the department or government, and some were still working for government, but in other departments, not necessarily the Department of Agriculture. There has never been any clarity or status regarding the 10th farm, because 10 farms were allocated to 10 farmers, and then one of the farmers indicated that he pulled out as far back as 2008, and there has never been any clarity of what's going on to or what's happening in that 10th farm. The status of Rockless Farm was also, which was meant to settle the ex-farm workers, and during the oversight visits and deliberations with the stakeholders, the ex-farm workers told the committee that the Rockless Farm is inhabitable because it's very rocky, I guess that's the name, it's very rocky, and there's no infrastructure at all. There's no water, and there's not even housing, and it's far from schools or any clinics or shops. And also it was, despite being dry with no water, it was also very rocky for cultivation. So they were never going to, even if they were consulted, they were never going to accept being moved to Rocklands. And it's the furthest from the area. The current CEO also, during some of the discussions, clarified or mentioned that there was an unofficial arrangement between the entity, that was the former CEO who has since passed on, and the Jongilanga chieftains. The entity used to have a dairy, but the dairy has since been closed down because it wasn't making any money. The dairy, he mentioned that the dairy was located in the Jongilanga chieftains' land. And the even though the entity or the service farm is about 1,500 hectares, which is not used, but the dairy was located in Chief Jongilanga's land. And the arrangement was that with the late Chief Jongilanga, the entity can have the dairy there, and its dairy livestock can graze in those lands, but the entity has to pay the electricity bill of the chieftaincy. That was an unofficial arrangement. So I think the member can also ask clarity on the status of that arrangement, if it still exists, or what's the current status, given that the dairy has been since closed down, but the current CEO also mentioned that the livestock of the entity still uses the Jongilanga chieftaincy's land for grazing. The verifications of the claims that were, although they were verbal during meetings against the entity, the claims from some of the stakeholders in the area, including the part of traditional authority. I think the last committee has asked for this, but I think the committee could also ask for a detailed report of operations, what exactly is happening at Mwaha on a daily basis, and the staff complement, and also the responsibilities. as well as the latest asset register. I know 2 or 3 years ago the committee did receive an asset register, but I think we could ask for an updated one, which should also include current livestock, because when the dairy was closed, the dairy animals were also sold, but the committee never got, they asked for the report on the sale of the animals, like the prices and what happened with the money that was received. That report also didn't get to the committee. And lastly, I think the department needs to clarify its role as a shareholder and caretaker of the entity. Because irrespective of what happens at the entity, the department seems to disassociate itself from whatever is happening there. And only the CEO of the entity has to account, even though the department is the caretaker, in essence, having the role of the board. And in conclusion, members, one of the issues when the committee engaged the department regarding IFA, it was seen as something petty that the committee didn't have, or the committee didn't know where its priorities lie. The reason being that Mweha only received a minuscule amount from the department's budget compared with other entities. However, despite that, the issue here is the people that are involved in Mweha, the 10 or 9 farmers, and also the egg farm workers that were never consulted or were never assisted with anything. And the fact that the department, even though Mweha Farms Pty Limited was formed because there were those state farms that were transferred to people. So they were supposed to help those farmers and help the surrounding communities. But that was not happening. And also, we're talking about approximately 3,700 hectares of agricultural land, which was not being used as it should. That's an opportunity loss in terms of employment. There's very high unemployment in the area. If that land was used productively, that was an opportunity to address unemployment, food security, and also if the entity was fulfilling its mandate, capacitating the people in the area as well. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Ms. There you are, honorable members of the precinct, so that we know exactly what we are talking about when we talk and our visit to the area. Any hints? Just two areas of clarity and comments. Honorable Youngblood, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Ramakwasi, and of course Mandela. Thank you. Can we start with Youngblood? Record that.
I've been listening to what has been said about Mweha Farms and what's happening there. And what I would like to know is, does this committee have any teeth to hold the Department of Agriculture to account? We've heard time after time after time that something was requested, reports were requested, and it was simply ignored. I'm very curious to know what teeth we then have. To force them to, you know, if that is part of our oversight role, surely there must be ways in which we can get these answers when we ask for it. I would also like to know if there are any farming apart from the one farm, Welcome Home Farm, are there any activities on any of the other farms? Because it seems as though if there is nothing happening elsewhere. I'm also interested to know what then the ex-farm workers who were supposed to be relocated to Rockland Farm, what is their situation at the moment? Where do they live and what is happening? How do they live? What do they live with? Do they farm or what is happening with regards to that? And yes, the other thing which she has mentioned herself is the arrangement with Eyongi Langa. I suppose we'll get that when we go ourselves. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Eyongi Langa. Eyongi Langa, Honorable Youngblood. Eyongi Langa, is that Eyongi Langa? It's close to your name. Members, that we are still talking to ourselves as the committee. We are not dealing with the department. She's from the portfolio committee. But as we contribute, we may also make suggestions as to what we need to do. For instance, the question about the department, I think we really need to make suggestions instead of asking as to whether the department has did. But I think we need to make suggestions in relation to the reports. Honorable Joseph?
Jefferson, I think the parliament or the department have failed the people of the Eastern Cape, specifically around Era the Palm. And I didn't know there was 10 additional farms until the first briefing that we received from the farm, and I didn't even know that one of the farmers at the initial stages had withdrawn from the process already. Now, if you don't have an agreement or terms of reference to manage the farm, it makes it very difficult for yourself to ensure that you, the person that hasn't received it, any documentations to manage it in such a way that you know that at the end of the day you will be perhaps a beneficiary or co-op that could be established. These are the clear guidelines that should be within the documents. Whether another entity of the department takes it over, if those ground rules are not in place in terms of the management of the farm and even the ensuring that you use the farm for arable purposes or grazing land, that in itself will be a challenge. Now, if you built a dairy on one of these that was built on one of these farms, it's an indication there was a thinking of perhaps having some cows around those places. Now, if you are not able to grow your crop from 2008 up until now, it shows that the people that have received it doesn't know how to ensure that they can move certain mountains. Now, the challenge is that in terms of the mandate of the public entity under question was to ensure that there's training in all those stuff so that the farmers itself can improve the situation. Now, the concern is if these documents are not in place, is it then correct to constantly give people money and you have the situation, auditors have given certain reports, Auditor General's Office has given certain reports in terms of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, But on the other end, one of the public entities has failed in terms of accounting. Now, if you give 10 farmers, if you have an agreement of 10 farmers to deliver, there's a challenge. And I don't want to go on that path, but rather a path where we should put measures in place to ensure, even if another entity takes it over, that this farms can be successful, because it will only be beneficial for the people of the Eastern Cape and the country as a whole. We can't constantly give farms to people, but we ourselves are failing to ensure that they are delivering on our mandate to ensure that they are successful farmers. We must assist them from becoming small enterprises to become enterprises that can meet or challenge the existing big farmers association. Now, that is a type of situation that we should assist. Although we also have the mandate, or we should ensure that we can, those that are progressing, we keep it up there, but we must also bring our other people, the small farmers, on the same level. Now, the question is, if he goes to NERA, if the pronunciation is correct, if we go to it, what are we going to do at NERA? What will be our fact-finding? And those are the types of things that we must establish, so when we are coming back, that we know exactly, or when we go there, we know exactly what are we looking for, and coming back, we must know exactly what we intend implementing in terms of interventions. Now, the main issue here will be interventions after our civilian oversight visit. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Ramaphosa.
Now, thank you, Chair. Now, Chair, I think maybe we will also, as politicians here, have to talk a little bit of politics regarding this, because this was as a political decision aiming at changing the lives of the people through empowerment and so on, so that we don't miss that side of the story of the intentions, because it's very much important to look at the intentions of this kind of a situation. And it is clear that intentions were quite good towards changing the lives of the people, and now maybe along the way, unforeseen consequences came. You see, sometimes things do aggravate when you move, because when you were not moving, you could not know what actually the things entailed that are entailed in a particular program or project. So this presentation and discussion, it shows that when we go, it is just a matter of going to confirm and giving ourselves a benefit of the doubt. I think that is the intention, so that we come back and become better informed in thinking forward around correcting everything that is there. The presentation shows that, you know, many things were not right, but the intention is key to say it's true. Things did not go right, but that there was a very good intention. Because if you look at the question of how this entity was established, you get it quite clear that there was no specific space. kind of an entity, either in the department by that time. Because I think when the thinking was coming, the departments were not separated. I don't know. I will hear from officials if I'm wrong. It is clear that maybe the departments were not separated as they are today to specifically deal with different mandates. I'm saying this because this is an issue of the land, and I think you see it from the beginning that the land provision or the land distribution was never dealt with from the origin. And once you deal with this kind of matters and you don't have good plans from the beginning, this kind of problems will always arise because you actually have not given exactly what must happen on the land itself and what land and how much size and so on and so on. So there's a mix-up. That is why the question of other 10 farmers, farming communities were excluded and farm hectares were excluded because no thorough research was done to plan for a drop and neha. So it lacked that kind of a thing. And secondly, I know the question of the act, in many cases, we always have observed that when the new dispensation came, we came with a number of new acts, but obviously with development, other things will come. And it's then that you will see that, no, we lacked a number of acts again. It is where the question of new bills and amendments will always keep on coming. Now, as it was running, it was clear that it would not run properly because it is not catered for in any formal document of the country. It is established on the basis of the temporary ad hoc arrangement, like thing. Say, it was an arrangement that was made to say, maybe in future we will see where to profit it. Now I'm saying it is a fact that we have to look at when we come back to say, now where do we go with this kind of a thing from the point of our acts and legislations and so on. We need to do that so that we are guided by that. Now, the other thing that is actually not coming very clear, it is the role of the provincial legislatures or provincial governments. But also before going to provincial government, I think we all know that always government come and go. We know government come and go, but the state remains. You see, the state remains. Now, why I'm saying this, I'm saying, in fact, from the state point of view, we have been failed in this issue because now the state should have been a very proactive entity in dealing with this, you see, so that we don't look at it around a parliament or government. Now, when we look at with the eye of government, we will always put our concentration on who was there. Somebody was there and he came and go. Now, it's not about who was there. It's about the state. The state will still remain and will continue. People will come and go. Now, I'm saying the state by that time has failed because they should have changed during the development around the situation. Now, the presentation says to us, these things were identified, but they remain. They remain. Nothing was done. They came up to our level, up to us, the generation. Now, of us, we find them, they were there, the role of state, nothing. So, that's something that we must also deal with when we draw a way forward around the state regarding this matter. I don't see the state having assisted. So I have mentioned that we need to be clarified how, where, what was the responsible department when this thing was formed. Because because I think it was now coming to the legislatures, provincial legislatures, I'm saying they don't seem to be appearing to be playing any meaningful role here. Maybe it's because it was a national department, and even if it is that national department, and it is in a provincial and local government area. It is there. It is demarcated in local, in a certain municipality, certain district, certain province. Now, the absence of that will always mean a problem to this kind of a thing, because it is run by people who are very far from the people themselves who are affected. Now, who are we expecting to take charge around the factions, around the fight, around the theft, around what? I think it is the provincial, the local government that must play that role. And it seems here there was no space for them, because you don't know how come. You see, you don't know how come that they are not really appearing as part of government, because South Africa is a unitary state. It's a unitary state. It must mean unity. It must mean unitary state, one government. And one government is one government at all levels, because we know it and we understand it. At other sections, we are able to champion a unitary system. But on the other side, we are not able. So I think we need to look into that also, that if we say we are a unitary state, how best do we implement a unitary state system when it comes to this kind? Now, the last thing I want to touch on is the issue of deregistration. That was the last resort which then a department resorted, after all the things, they resorted to deregistration, which was a good thing. It also never materialized. Now I'm saying, I don't understand what was actually happening in this. There was no focus, there was no concentration, there was nothing around this thing. I don't know how the department was dealing with it. As a bypass or something that is there during summer or winter, and then when it is winter, you put it aside, you see it. I don't understand, and that is why there's whole problems in the farm are existing, because it shows that there was no focus, there was no concentration on it. It was left, and it was by then at an appropriate level being done. So these are the issues that I think when we come back, we will have to deal with it. And then when we conclude to the deregistration, we must always make sure that it happens, because one other factor that we always mention when we deal with this kind of things, it's a question of the will. You know, the political will. In this kind of thing, you see, there's no will. There was no will. It was something there, but for its movement to run and go, you don't know. That is why very important to know who actually was in charge, because it shows there was a lack of political will, and that is a very, very central point, the issue of a political will in this kind of thing. So these are the issues that I want us to have reserved, so that when we come back, we plan better around them in the whole scenario. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramaphosa. And I request that we must be in this meeting, not in a meeting after we've visited NAR. Our discussions must be in this one. Very good views that came. Honorable Kosi Mandela.
Thank you, and I also want to appreciate the information presented to us. I think there's just two points of concern. sense of and a need to gain clarity of officials that move from one department to another that are still mingling on issues of NGCA. So you can give me clarity on that. Don't quite understand that part. So that we may be able to deal with this. And this the names of these officials, we would like them presented so that we can be able to speak oranges for oranges when we're dealing with the department and not just speculate. And it would be also interesting to find out on the ground when we do oversight if that is in actual fact from the community, what their thoughts are in terms of interference and mingling of officials. Second one, Chair, we seem to have an island in the middle of two tribal authorities, traditional councils, that of Chongilanga and the Mitushan, if it's one and the same thing. Part of the other one, or the other one is part of. I think it necessitates an understanding as to what are the roles of the traditional councils, and why would we then create an island between two traditional councils? Either the land belongs to one or the other, and I'd like to gain an understanding in terms of land claims that have been instituted against those farms, so that we don't find ourselves on a goose chase. We really are able to effect change in that, because it is upon this portfolio committee to give direction and also ascertain what the department is doing in terms of bringing about change and stability to NGCA Farm. So I'd like to really gain an understanding in terms of that. And if, having mentioned that there are cattle, whether dairy or non-dairy cattle, that are now on tribal land, what are the arrangements in terms of that? That like that to be truly tested so that we don't have the utilization of land for an electricity bill which seemingly is non-existent today. So let's gain clarity on these issues, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Ngosimondale. Again, thank you very much for the information, Ms. Mpasha. Because I know Sikasha, so I always want to say Sikasha. my hope is that there was only one visit by the committee to NGCA. I just hope in the last parliament, so that we don't go to NGCA all the time and there is nothing that we're doing. I just hope there is only one, because they will chase us away. People have that potential. If we've been coming to them, then there is no movement. But again, we can't action anything without us hearing what those people are saying. The report from the fourth parliament is useful so that when we take a decision, we have an insight of what other members of the portfolio committees did, as we have the report. So that would be useful in those terms. So when we go there, we must go, come back, action. Because once we delay again for another year or two, then there will be problems. problems. No other committee members will go there. So I think let's go there knowing for a fact that there is that. Because Mandela did raise some of the areas that I wanted to raise, because for me, one day for that kind of situation is not enough, because there are so many stakeholders, as reflected in the report, that are at play in that problem there. And without meeting the traditional leaders in that area, having identified as to where these 10 farms are located, in terms of traditional leadership, in whose chief the land belongs. So we need to be clarified on those things, members and officials, so that we don't go to chiefs who don't have anything to do with that land in those 10 farms, because they must be the stakeholders. So some kind of work needs to be done before we go there. Community-based organizations and all of that, we must meet those people, because it's these people who create problems or participate in that whole area, not necessarily creating problems, but participating in that area of the 10, 11 farms. These farms are 11. They are 11. So we need to identify the stakeholders and be very clear, so that as we get out of that situation, we have met and consulted everybody. Come back, take a decision, communicate with them our decisions. No more findings now, but decisions. Yes, findings, but when we get back to them, we must communicate findings. Surely there will be that session where we discuss and come to a conclusion as to what we need to do. A number of issues were raised by Honorable Joseph and Honorable Ramaphosa in terms of our next meeting. So these things of exploring as to what do we need to do, if we deregister, we deregister, but do what in relation to those farms and all of that. So our decision will be informed clearly on what we found out in that situation. Mutungwana, if you have something, because you were here when the presentation was made, but you went out for a short period. Yes, Mutung, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In listening to the report, I personally think that the intention for the formation of Ngaiha Farms was a good one in terms of developing and training people on agriculture. Let me just put it that way. But the farm was not used for the intended purposes in listening to the report, but then I think the department officials contributed to the failure by not following what they were supposed to have done. To me, it was a lot of quantity work that was done rather than quality. And it's a pity, we might have questions that the support staff official cannot answer, like as to why were no steps taken, even if advices were given to the department.
That's all that I can say for now.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Welcome, Honorable Njaisa. Your apology was presented and accepted. That you will join us later. Ms. Nkasha, only charges that you must attend to. And then after that, we'll wind up this part of the report.
Thank you, Chair and members. I think the question, I don't think I have to respond about the committee's gifts. That's for members. The activities on any other farm, those farms that are occupied, there are activities that are happening. They keep livestock, and some are also have a combination of cropping and livestock. For those four that I know still occupy the farms, even though there are continuous fights with ex-farm workers. And also, and obviously at Welcome Home Farm, it's only the biggest part of the farm is not used, which is the service center, which doesn't make sense why the entity's livestock should be using Chief Jongilanga's land for grazing. They use some for cropping, vegetable production mostly. And also, with regard to the ex-farm workers situation, currently they are still there. They refuse to move from the farm, so they're still there. There is one farm that I know, which is, there are also, I think, personal issues involved, because they are targeting that one. I think 50% of that one has been invaded. And with the invasion, they build sheds, so they're more like squatter camps. Some of the farm, but he's using the other part of the farm that hasn't been invaded. So it's that situation. The farmers are still there, and the ex-farm workers and the other people who have since joined the invasions but are not necessarily ex-farm workers are also still there. I've mentioned that there's high unemployment in the area, so I think as in most communities, they do what they can. There are some who work and depend on social grants or migrant remittances with those that have families in cities. The department separation, when MAHA was established, there was a Department of Agriculture and the Department of Land Affairs. They were two separate departments, but they were under one ministry. And the confusion, which is why I raised that, members should also get clarity under which program were the farms bought and transferred to farmers, because that's Land Affairs who acquires land. And agriculture is supposed to give support if it's for agricultural purposes. But from all the reports regarding MAHA, it was the department. It's not clear whether Land Affairs has already bought that land and gave it to agriculture for land redistribution for agricultural purposes. So that's one of the things that the committee can seek clarity on from the department. But it has always been the Department of Agriculture that has been involved with MAHA, including the allocation of the farms. The role of the provincial legislature, the entity is a national entity. However, it was reported, well, on informal talks with people from the province, the legislature tried to intervene when they heard of the conflicts there from the people. But the former CEO wouldn't let the MPL to even enter the entity, saying that if they're overstepping their mandate. So the entity is a national entity, so only the national department or national parliament can intervene there. So before the last term, the province, the legislature was never involved, but with the fourth, with the last committee, whenever it visited Mecha, it also involved the legislature. If you ask about the officials who moved, since I've said before, it was the Ministry of Agriculture and Land Affairs, and depending on the job mandate, I know there were movements between the two departments as they were under the same ministry, and also when, I think as with all government officials, when an opportunity comes from another department and if people qualify, they can apply and move to another department. And also with the split, they were joined. I understand when they were under the same ministry, there were some directorates that were working closely together, even though they were different departments. So in 2009, when the new departments were formed and then agriculture was separate, there are officials from agriculture who applied to rural development and land reform. The role of traditional council, I think that's for the committee to find out. But the farms, they were previously commercial farms, and the traditional councils are in the vicinity of those farms. They have villages. That's usually the case. There might be two or three villages that fall under one traditional council. But the closest one, the pathway is close enough, is on the other side of the national road. But the Jongilanga 15 is closer to the entity. And the arrangement, that's also one other issue that the committee has to seek clarity on, if it still exists, regarding the use of Chief Jongilanga's land for the entity's livestock to graze. And the payment of the electricity bill, if that still stands. The stakeholders, I must mention that they have increased since the first visit, because the conflict, the invasion, has, the whole issue has been left for too long by the department. I think other people have saw an opportunity. They don't have land or settlement area to join the invasion. But details the committee can find from the stakeholders themselves. But I must mention that there are even conflicts amongst stakeholders themselves now from our last meeting. That's why I say they have since increased since the first visit of the committee. Because you'll find some of them saying that, no, those certain groups were not born and bred in the area, so they have no claim to the farms, and the others claiming that they've been born there and all that. I think the main issue here is the failure of the department to do its duty. And of course, officials have been involved. And from the last committee's assessment, it's also the capacity. It's one thing to have people who are supposed to do the work, but the capacity to do that work effectively. Because even, for example, with the turnaround strategy, the committee explained what they expected, but the department couldn't move beyond what they have presented. So the committee also saw that as a capacity issue. There is really a capacity in the department and the entity to do what is expected as mandated when the entity was established. And also one other issue that I must highlight is the for lack of a better word, instability in the department for the past 5 years in the department, as the committee has already had in the department's management. Since 2009, the department didn't have a permanent accounting officer. That was the case with the DDGs as well. And subsequently, the person who will act as a caretaker, because usually the person who will act as a caretaker for NCA will be the DDG for Food Security and Agrarian Reform. So without a DG, a permanently appointed DG, there was also no DDGs that were permanently appointed. So there have been lots of acting that was going on. So the committee will address a matter with this official now. In 3 months or 4 months' time, it's somebody else. And also the issue of records, why I must stress it, it's because if there were records, then the issue of officials acting wouldn't have been a big thing or affecting how things turn out at the entity, because whoever comes will have something to go on from. And what came out in the last parliament was that whenever the committee raised issues and also the recommendations that they have made, whoever is acting at the time, it will be something totally new. So they have to go and find out what's going on. That was the case even with the forensic report. I think when it eventually came to the committee, the acting DDG at the time said he was not aware of the existence of the report. So that was the main issue. But at least now the DG, the department has the DG since last year, and the DG is aware of the situation of NCA. She was already there when the annual report was presented and when the committee went to NCA for the last time in November 2013.
There you are, members. It's very clear that we must also communicate with the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture in the Eastern Cape, so that they are one of the stakeholders, or they are part of us as people who perform oversight. And hopefully, this thing of you can't come here is no longer there, because it's not your jurisdiction. I hope it's not no longer there from the new CEO, because this is what some of these entities do, including that one in Middelburg, the crowdfunding thing. So we'll have to have an interaction, maybe leading to a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development or Agrarian Reform in the Eastern Cape, even maybe prior going there. Many stakeholders, including your Buffalo City as the municipality, as well as the responsible councillors in the area. So we need to take everybody on board so that we close the chapter once and for all, members. Those are the responses, and any follow-up, or should we pass? Honorable Chaisa, we're dealing with NCA, preparing for the visit in the Eastern Cape. Any follow-up, Honorable Ramaphosa? It may be the follow-up on clarities, but also way forward as we are preparing to go there.
Yeah, sure. No, it is on the basis of the absence of
officials to look for us, that whilst doing the work and so on, where actually this can be located within our spectrum of the legislations, so that it's no more an issue of an arrangement, but we put it where it belongs. Whatever will come, even if it is not this.
Any other comments? No. I think we've adjusted the matter. We've identified stakeholders that we will have to touch base with as we go there, including the Eastern Cape Legislature Portfolio Committee responsible for agriculture. The day is not, it's still the 23rd, but I think we need to have a day. What it means, we need to start there in the morning instead of arriving there in the morning of the 23rd. So in our expenses, we must sleep over so that we do work as early as possible, because dealing with all those stakeholders, especially the communities, is not going to be an easy ride. So we'll have to allow space for that before we can come back to Cape Town or wherever we come back to. Thank you, members. Arrangements will be done and factoring in the issue of sleeping over there on the 22nd. If it was not done, surely that will have to be done. Clear times with the people that we are going to meet. I hope those things are being handled. Further research in terms of what is the situation now in the farm and all of that, all those things will have to be done. Additional people invaded the area, that thing will have to be checked, so that even where they come from, in terms of the surrounding areas, those things will have to be very clear on everything. When we go there, it's not a problem to meet other stakeholders, but when we meet the stakeholders from the community, that's where I expect we must be very meticulous in terms of dealing with it, including the information that we have. Thank you very much, members, for the discussion on that item of the agenda. Can we go to the second item, which is adoption of minutes, and minutes were circulated to all of us prior coming to this meeting, and I'll take, thank you very much, Ms. Nkasha. You may close your computer so that we don't look there anymore. The minutes of the 2nd September 2014, our meeting was held in Committee Room S35, and everything is reflected on page 1. We'll start with the corrections, and then after with raising the matters arising if they are, and then adopt the minutes if we want to adopt them. Page 1. So you'll have to go in line with my speed of looking at the minutes. Page 1. Page 2. page 4. Page 5. It's still corrections, eh? Page 6. Okay, and we're done. With corrections, any matter arising from page 1? We adopt that. Honorable Ramaphosa, adoption?
Sir, move that we adopt minutes as correct version of the page.
Any second? Honorable Jais, seconds? Thank you, sir. Matters arising. Issues that we should have actioned, that we, if you want to, especially those who are not in the agenda, today's agenda. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. I was still fine. Honorable Ramaphosa.
Just on page 4, I just wanted to find out, because we wanted to know the involvement of the NAMC in the implementation of the FETA Kala program, is that can we get an indication if there's any formal way that can be given? In page 4, that top. Yeah. On the is
we haven't have we were represented, but I think think what we need to do is to get a report from the three delegates representing this committee in the next meeting. Okay? Still on page 5? Anything else? Page number six. Done. Can see you're still working. We are done with the minutes. They are corrected. They were adopted. We'll only get a report from the Land Tenure Summit from the three representatives in the next meeting. That report will be a written report. Just one page, but we must get the gist of what was happening there. We spend money, so we must get a report. Thank you very much, members. On that one, we go to the next. To the third point, finalization of the nomination of candidates to serve on the National Agricultural Marketing Council, NAMC. I will request that we get the... Yes. I will request that we get, we remind members on what we are supposed to do, what is expected of us in relation to this, because this is this comes from the Act itself. Do you want to take us through on that one? Before we can report as to what is happening now.
Thank you, Chair. Members, as you will recall, the board of the National Agricultural Marketing Council has two vacancies. The portfolio committee received an invitation to nominate candidates to serve on that board. And the letter is specific in this regard. They need members, two people with experience on the commercial production of agricultural products. That's the first one. The second one is experience on agricultural product-related trade and industry. So they specifically need people with those two backgrounds. And what members were previously told is to encourage people with that kind of background to submit CVs either through the members or send them to the committee secretary. And then the committee will sit and decide on two candidates or more that they will forward to the minister. The minister will submit, as per the Act, the minister will submit those names to the selection committee that he has appointed. And the selection committee is supposed to compile all the CVs and send them back according to the Act, but that's not what happened. But according to the Act, it's supposed to send them back to the parliamentary committees, the whole list, including those that the department has sourced through advertisements. And the parliamentary committees will elect two people from the whole list. That's a long process, but I think we as a committee, we've been given an extension, so we are already late. And the two committees involved is this committee and the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources. Mm-hmm. the deadline, the extended deadline that has been given the committee is Friday the 12th. That's the date by which the names are supposed to be forwarded to the minister.
Thank you. The requirements are very clear in the act itself. They are more for the person who's needed here in relation to this document. I'm talking the expertise. I'm not talking the people. What is needed for you to have. Members, that's what we're supposed to do. And by the last meeting said we must encourage people, as Ms. Mkashe say, to apply and all of that. I mean, to forward the CVs. By this morning, we didn't have any CV. For that kind of a person, and this is expected from us deadline Friday, and maybe we need to agree that we have nothing at hand as the committee, and maybe members can propose as to what to do. Honorable Ramaphosa.
Chair, seeing that there's an extension, maybe we can agree as members that we try to get what we can get before Friday and submit to the secretary. I think that is allowed for now.
Okay. Can we agree on that? That we try again to get this service. And maybe we have 30 minutes or an hour on Friday. Because that's the only time we have. An hour, 30 minutes or an hour meeting to finalize the matter, and send the names, immediately after the meeting, on Friday. Is that agreed? Members can decide so that we can, the office can request that space from the chair of chairs or from the house chair. Yes.
Chairperson, I will need to apologize. I'm attending Tourism Portfolio Committee on Friday mornings between 9 and 12.
Outside the Cape Town?
No, it's here.
Members, we really need 8 minutes of your time. I think we must agree on time. What time can we have that meeting? Because if we don't correct, we cannot send names. The quorum is very important for that kind of meeting. We can do it whatever time, whether it's lunchtime, it's a committee meeting. But members must indicate what is a suitable time for them. Honorable Ramaphosa.
Chair, I'm trying to check, why do we want to wait for the meeting for Friday? Is there no way that we can do the meeting on Thursday before? Thursday morning? Because it looks like even Honorable Tumwana, on Friday, so if members maybe
members must indicate Thursday is a caucus, party caucuses in the morning. It's party caucus, and then in the afternoon it's plenary. Unless members say let's have a lunch hour meeting on Thursday, so that at least the party caucus starts at 10 up to 1. And then we can squeeze lunch hour. Does it take time? We'll present the CVs that we have and then take a decision as to what we do. Honorable Jaisa.
chairperson. Perhaps I may not have come into grips with this. I really don't know. Who are the speaker supposed to apply? Are we supposed to go out and get people encouraged to apply? Or is it supposed to come from us as members? I'm confused. I don't know.
Okay.
What should happen?
You'll recall, what was it last time? Land Bank. You'll recall when we were dealing with Land Bank, we encourage people with expertise that we are flying here to send CVs to us as the committee, not us. The people that you know with all this expertise that Ms. Kasha was talking about, in line with the Act. And then when we get them, on Thursday lunch hour, we convene for 30 minutes. And then after that, we go to the house. Is that agreed? Thursday lunch hour? Can members please encourage those you know? This is market, what is it? National Agricultural Marketing Council. It has a lot of things to do, including marketing and transformation of the very council. I think that must be fundamental. We want to transform these entities. That is very important. Okay. Agreed. Thursday 11th at 1 o'clock. Honorable Youngbrook?
To me, it seems as if 1:30 would be better, since we're only going to need 30 minutes to do it, because most often our caucus go over the 1 o'clock thingy.
Okay. Half past 1 members? Agreed? At the half past 1 on Thursday, we finalize the NAMC candidates, finalization of NAMC candidates and submission thereof. Oh no, the venue will be communicated as usual by Mrs. Kakaza, the Secretary of the Committee. Agreed, members? The next item, in the agenda is one member to propose closure. Honorable Joseph, propose closure? Seconded? Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. It was a very good meeting. Thank you for your support for the acting chairperson. I'm told healthy lunch is served. Or any... Okay. There is an announcement here. Members will recall that there is a policy. Is it a conference? What is this? Can you say it?
According to our program, we are supposed to have a policy workshop, joint policy workshop with the rural development in water and sanitation. It was decided that the workshop must be done in Joburg, in Gauteng. So we are in the process of submitting an application, joint application, for political approval. Then if that is approved by the House Chairperson, then the logistics will be communicated to all the members. that will be the policy workshop of three committees, including the Select Committee of Land and Mineral Resources. Thank you.
Okay, that's on the 25 to 27. 25, 26, or 2 days now. That's 25 and 26, and if everything is accepted, it's in Johannesburg, not in Cape Town. A lot of presenters, the last time I heard, there were about 10 or 12. We said they must be reduced and all of that, but land reform is dealing with that. So that's the 25 and 26 members in Johannesburg. Okay. Thank you very much for your attention and contributions and supporting the acting chairperson, Honorable Youngblood.
Aren't you seeing the German delegation on the 21st?
There is that delegation, but it's still being handled as to where we are meeting them. We are trying to meet them in Johannesburg so that we don't miss the workshop. So that one still stands, but we want to meet them in Johannesburg. Okay, thank you very much.